Struggling to connect with buyers in an overcrowded, noisy sales landscape? Today's buyers want more than a spray and pray email blast. Launch a podcast and collaborate on content with people that matter most in your industry. Learn more at salesculture.work.
What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Lemon. Thank you so much for tuning back into the podcast. And so today's episode is going to be a lot of fun. I got a chance to link up with somebody that is that put me on a different way to actually experience networking events. So in the past, a lot of time what I've done is kind of just gone to meetups and, you know, you get invited to some of these like these boring cocktail parties or these happy hours where, you know, it's either like a club, so you're not really talking that much unless you came with a group of people, or it's more of this, you know, just really stale, you know, we're just trying to get leads, you know, type of conversation. And it's like, open your phone book and let me see what you can get, network marketing style. So, I had a chance to experience something different. So Crystal Jackson is today's guest, and she is the owner of Gala Unlimited. I had a conversation with her recently, and I went to her dope event. It was really a lot of fun, and it was a lot of different. It was, I should say, it was way different than, you know, most of these, you know, marketing type of, you know, networking functions, because she's blending in that like niche, a very, you know, tight niche group of people with a brand that kind of bridges us. And so she did one for Black business owners, well, Black male business owners and Brandy. So it was Business and Brandy was the actual name of the event. It was done at a really, you know, nice mansion type of setup out here in LA. And it was just a lot of fun. I made a lot of great connections. I mean, so had some just authentic, you know, regular conversations with people. Not anything I could say that's directly going to lead to business. It's just great to be, you know, to be aligned with people that are of the same nature with you and just really of the same mindset. So had a lot of fun talking to Crystal, just understanding how she's scaling her staffing / marketing agency, and just trying to understand some more of the trends that are going on throughout this space, and really talking about how people blend and how they're going to be blending brands more in the future into these you know, in-person experiences. I know a lot of us are focused online, but I still feel like there's a lot of white space to bring people together face to face and have authentic conversations, and why not have a brand bridge that? So with that said, I'm done running my mouth. I want to get into the conversation. Man, it would be great if you guys could leave me a rating here wherever you're listening to the podcast on. Plus press subscribe if you haven't already. Definitely helps me get found a little bit better, helps out with the podcast discovery, and share it. You know, I've been on LinkedIn going hard. I'm trying to get over 10,000 in the next couple months or so. So if you're on LinkedIn, share it on LinkedIn. It'd be great. If not, hit me up on whatever platform you're on. I'm at Joe Alex Lemon. Try to make myself easy to find. And yeah, with that said, let's dive into today's show.
But you know, I first got introduced to you through my friend Jay. He was like, Joe, come out to this event, Jay Fields. And he was like, man, come out to this event. And I'm like, okay, I don't know, I'm busy, whatever. He's like, look, man, things are gonna be special, it's worth your time. I was like, all right, cool. So I'll throw on something really quick and just come on out. Showed up at this, you know, secluded mansion, and you pull up, you wouldn't even know that there was a whole party going on. You walk through the door, was greeted, and then I got some brandy, and then I started having conversations, and literally, it was one of the best events I've been to all year, and I get a chance to go to a lot of events and meet a lot of people, just because I'm always trying to network, but rarely, when you're thrown into rooms, do you actually connect with people,
right?
You know, and I thought you did a phenomenal job of just bringing the right people together. I'm not sure how you did that, what type of email list you have, right? or whatever else is going on behind the scenes, but I thought you did a great job with that event. So hats off to you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. So you know what? Can we dive into what kind of inspired you to really start doing these type of events, and what got you into that whole mode of, you know what, I think I should bring Black men together and have some branding.
Yeah, so kind of to start with the whole concept. Mm-hmm. You know, as I mentioned before when we turned this on, I'm all into women empowerment. You know, my staffing agency is really, now we're bringing men on. Mm-hmm. But it was really women only. And there's not one time you can open Instagram, at least for my feed and who I follow, women's sisterhood brunch, women empowerment this, teaching women finances, women, and we need it. Don't get me wrong. We absolutely need that.
I'm definitely doing
like
a great job of that.
Of course, you know, I mean, we are still, you know, we'll always still be kind of the low, especially black women, we're like the lowest totem pole. But, you know, for me, I see such a large increase, and especially because black women are the fastest growing business owners. And the fact that I see so many, a lot of my friends, bosses own their own businesses. And when we get together, what do we talk about? Black men ain't doing nothing, you know.
Is that what's happening?
Oh yes, it's literally, why are all of us? Sometimes you're just like, you need a woman in your life. So anyway,
women definitely help balance out men. I cannot agree with that more. I mean, because a lot of times, if men are just left up to themselves, do you know what guys get into whenever we're just by ourselves?
Exactly. That's
strange.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, oh my god. So I just saw all these, and I just saw nothing. For what, that to me was the market. As a marketer, that's why I'm like, where's the market? I do not see male events, you know, like, and again, you can't, it's because it's like, well, you know, men are running corporate, you know, there's always men events, but I meant, you know, especially because I go to a lot of women events and I love them. They are talking about that whole sisterhood. They are talking about, sometimes you're just embarrassed, especially as a business owner, like, am I by myself? You know, like, you don't know who else is out there going through it. So for me, as a black woman, I wanted a space for black men, especially men trying to start their businesses. Again, why are we the only ones out here starting businesses? And maybe just the guys, they just don't know. They're too prideful. You know, that's another thing that kind of stops our black men, is their pride. So for me, that's where it started. And I remember, I talked about this 2 years ago. It's just an idea, as anything starts. So it's like, I want to make a men's event. And I didn't really have a con. It just was going to be a men's event. Was it going to be intimate? Was it going to be what was it going to be talking about? And then also, I am in the wine and spirits industry, more on the marketing side. And for my clients, you know, I work with a lot of craft beverage brands. So brands that really want more education. This is not your Fireballs and your Tito, you know, no offense to them, but you don't need education on those type of brands. So the brands I work with, really craft quality brands that you really need to teach on. So, you know, for me, I feel like everyone, you know, any type of events, it's just, we need drink sponsors just to drink. For me, I'm big on tasting events. I love going to tasting events and learning.
That was a smart play too.
Yeah, and I'm studying for my CSS, and that's a whole environment. You know, Sommeliers, you know, CSS is Certified Specialist of Spirits. I mean, the book's like this thick. So
it's a real test.
Oh yeah, it's a real 100 question, like intense test. You know, yeah. I mean, tequila is not just, where's tequila from? I mean, how's the agave made? How is it fermented? Is it a pot or a column still? How, you know, those are really, and it's fun to me. I like to learn about that stuff. So I feel that, especially, you know, black men love cognac. That's the whole stereotype for it. And cognac is such an extremely meticulous alcohol to make. So yeah, there's so much more that goes into that. I'm trying to think if you were at the outside, the VIP, or the inside, but that's, you know, the inside. So how she just, I mean, as you heard, that's a lot.
It's a process.
That's a process.
You know what was cool about that too, is the fact that, like, I feel like a lot of times cognac is just like, oh, that's cognac. As if that's just, you know, some little bottom shelf type of drink. I love cognac personally.
Right.
And so, so to really have someone break down the process of making it, I thought that was really nice. That's because it added this extra level of, you know, excellence to it, right?
Like, and that's what I wanted. I didn't want just, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's something I'm learning too, is to listen. But that's what I want. I wanted it because for me, it sounds so bad, I shouldn't even say it. Like, there's a lot of things to, like, free events, you know, because that's one thing as well. A lot of our culture doesn't know these things because it's just not offered to us in our communities, you know. So I was like, should I make it a free event, you know, but with that comes a certain type of quality of people. You know, I wanted it to be elite. I don't want just like a bunch of men kind of together, just a whatever event. The type of events I am, the type of event I go to, like, we're class. Like, you know, I don't look at just, you know, I want our culture to be just so empowered. And I want our men, it starts with our men. You know, these women, we cannot, as much as these poor men are puppies, women are out here. We need men in our life. We need strong men to help us and guide us as well. You guys are the heads. You're the king. You're the power, you know, and we're here to support that. So I just was looking for that balance. So long, blah, 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 story short, that's kind of how it came about, was the idea. And then literally, I planned that thing in like a month, like 4 weeks, three to 4 weeks. It was the last minute. I called Jarette, shout out to Jarette, my events manager. I was like, girl, let's make this happen. You know, like, let's just do it. You know, we produced an event for the trade. So it was more for bartenders, bar managers, bar directors, mm-hmm. things like that. And then I wanted to do one. It was perfect because our client was a brandy client at the time, which, you know, unfortunately, some things, like I mentioned, didn't work out to where Martell and Cognac Park, I had their contact and they came through immensely. Just they brought it. So
like, and you held this event during Kwanzaa as well.
Oh, I forgot. Hello. Okay, so
that was a really nice touch.
Exactly. So I actually grew up Israelite, so okay. I don't celebrate Christmas like that. So I grew up celebrating Kwanzaa, and that was, and I hate saying it like Christmas because Kwanzaa is not the Black Christmas. Can I stress that enough? Kwanzaa is a celebration. Everyone, and unfortunately, people just don't know, and sure. they kind of, it's the same time, you know. So Kwanzaa is a celebration of Black culture. So I specifically wanted to do it on the Kwanzaa Day of Self-Determination because that's, to me, the first thing about being an entrepreneur. And, you know, again, shout out to Jerez. She kind of came up with the idea. For me, I wanted all my things to be very business focused. So the first one was going to be about finance, which we are doing that one. So one's going to be about how to raise funding. One's going to be about how to hire a quality team. One's going to be about, you know, social media marketing, every aspect that goes into building a business. And she was kind of like, you know, let's do one. She's like, you know, maybe these men just need to talk about what they're afraid of, you know, being like really the ins and outs that go into being an entrepreneur and that whole self-determination, excuse me. So that's where I came out for that day. I wanted to be about self-determination, about you. It has to start with you. You have to say, I'm going to do this regardless, through the ups, through the downs, you know, like getting into everything really circles around self-determination. And I think that was the first kind of aspect of being an entrepreneur. Yeah. Black men, Kwanzaa, could have been perfect.
I mean, seriously, it was a really good flow. And I think a lot of the guys brought a lot of jewels too, man. I mean, they all had some really good takeaways. So I'm curious though, do you still practice Hebrew Israelite or...
I don't actually. That's kind of interesting. We never grew up like that, where it was very strict. You know, we went to a church. We didn't grow up like that. I will say that. It was just more, you know, we didn't eat pork. We, you know, don't eat shrimp, crab, lobster. We don't really like celebrate Easter and Christmas. So it wasn't on the more, there's the intense.
I have a lot of, well, so just kind of give some context. So back in Pittsburgh, I grew up with at least 5 or 6 families on my block that all practice. And so
really? They
were literally like during, I mean, there was times, I want to say from Friday night until Saturday, maybe night as well, they all went into the house. It was Saturday up until Sunday, I believe. And so they didn't go outside. So that's 5 families off the block.
Right.
Everybody kind of noticed that, right? I mean, so I was just curious anyway. But there are like some different levels of extreme.
And my dad was Catholic and my family, yeah. That's one thing where kind of what made me get into also my business. You know, my dad loves hosting party. We hosted Christmas. So
okay.
I shouldn't say it like that. Like, I didn't celebrate Christmas with my mom's side, but you know, my dad's side, you know, we hosted it. It was just not something for me that I like grew up like instilled with, you know.
No, of course. It's cool. So you know what? Let's talk about your background a little bit. You're from SoCal. How did you get into this marketing experiential component of your business now?
Right. So, you know, growing up, honestly, entrepreneurship is not something that my family is about.
Oh my God, not at all.
Like, even to this day, my mom's going to be like, when are you going to quit? Like, my mom's all about, like, my stepfather, like, they both work for LA Department of Water and Power for 30 plus years. That's what you do. Girl, we'll get you a good job, get you some benefits.
Right.
And that's it. And that's what you're supposed to do. Say that's totally, and my parents live very nice lives. They've done it.
It works too.
It does. And that's what, and I hate job shaming. I hate that, you know, mm-hmm. because Again, entrepreneurship was just not what I thought. I went to Temple University.
Shout out to you.
Yeah.
What year?
I graduated. So let's graduate 2009. Went one more semester. I graduated January 2010.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have a lot of friends who actually went to Temple. We can talk about it offline, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, of course they went because they're amazing people, and only amazing people go to Temple.
So you went from LA out to Philly.
LA to Philly, right? I'll never forget my first winter. I called my mom like,
I was about to say, it was probably punishing out there.
It was, I had no idea, like, you've been here for 2 years. I mean, I grew up as a SoCal girl. If you want to see snow, you drive up to the mountains and you play in it for a little bit and you come back down.
Play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was very intense. And plus, it's just, Philly's a pretty rough city, you know? So going from little Glendora girl, you know, I grew up in the suburbs of California and going there, and I was like, but I loved it. I would never replace Temple. Temple was amazing. That's the best university. I love the people I met there, girlfriends for life. And so I was marketing major.
Okay.
I always knew that I wanted to get into market. My dad was a salesman, so he came from the coin-op industry, so coin-operators when arcades were still, like, the thing.
They're just coming back, too, though.
They are, but slowly. It's more that whole e-gaming thing now. You know, it's not what it used to be, no. But I would just see him, I mean, just selling salt to a slug kind of thing. You know, he was the salesman of the year type of thing. So.
A smooth guy? Was he even like smooth talking type of dude?
And it's funny because me and my brother talk like, how did you even pull our moms? Like, total opposite these women, you know, but he was, you know. He's just the guy who could sell it. He was on, so back then it was called Replay Magazine. Okay. So he was on the cover of like 6 Replay magazines. Like, you know, so I grew up in that sales environment, you know, and that marketing environment. But then, you know, again, he worked for Capcom, he worked for, you know, like Sega. So he had that background for it. So that's kind of what made me wanted to go into business and marketing side. And then graduating, I was told to get a good job. So I started working at Target. Mm-hmm. But I always knew I wanted to get into food and beverage. It was so funny. I found a letter that I kind of like wrote to myself, of like, what you're going to be when you grow up. And like, always food and beverage was in there. I liked, and it sounds so crazy that I can say this as an adult, but like, cause I like to eat and drink. Like, that's really what it was.
That's a good reason.
That's a reason you get into it. So, you know, I was the whole executive team leader. And then I went over into more of the, like, the sales side. I worked for RJ Reynolds Tobacco for 5 years. So I was a territory manager. Yeah, right. Exactly. And I just knew that that wasn't it. But I knew I liked the sales aspect. I knew I could do that. So then I wanted to go into the beverage world. So I started working for a small craft company called Infused Spirits. And then I went over to... Wanted to, at that time, I was a promo girl. So I tell you, when I was working at RJ Reynolds Tobacco, I was living in Northern California, as I said, and it is unbelievably expensive to live up there.
That's why whenever you were talking about going back to Oakland, I'm like, okay, yeah. But...
Exactly, like, it's... That's
now I understand
thing.
The reason, but yeah. But yeah. NorCal's crazy.
Unbelievably expensive. It's like, I'm sorry, how much, you know, but everyone in there is in tech. They're making that type of money where it's just like, you know, you start out of college making 105, you know, like that's
on the low end,
you know. So I needed some money, and a girlfriend of mine worked for a company at the time who was doing promo. She's like, you'd be perfect promo girl. So it really started with me being a promo girl and me realizing like the quality of girls that were in the field. You know, a lot of times they just kind of like booked us and threw us out there. And I wanted to really bring that quality sales brand ambassador to the market. So that's really where the idea came from. And it was literally, it's just, I'm that type of person. I need to start thinking a lot more about things before I do them, because I'm very like, this sounds good, I'm going to do it, you know? So I, you know, just kind of, went in.
I think that's the best way to be, though. I mean, because honestly, there's enough people out there chewing on it, talking about what they're going to do, not planning on doing anything about it.
Right.
And there's very few people that are saying, you know what, I think it's worth a shot, let's give it a go.
Right.
And then having thick enough skin to be able to bounce through whatever happens.
And that's true. That is, you know, because you have to have some sense of, like, action. Yeah. It's important to do research, though. It is very important to kind of know what you're doing a little bit. You know, and for me, I was just like, again, just like they say, just because you're a great baker doesn't mean you should open up a bakery. Because they're two very different roles. Me being a promo girl showing up at, you know, at a demo for 3 hours is very different from me owning an agency. So that's the reality that I had to hit. So that's really kind of how it started, was just I felt the need in the marketplace. You know, I was doing a demo one time, and then my friend, shout out to Eddie, he's like just the best guy at Emilio's Warehouse. He exposed me to Seth. Seth owns Infused Spirits, and we were at a store, and he's like, you gotta talk to this girl, she's great, blah, blah, blah. And kind of from there, he became literally like my first client. He was doing his own demos. He started his company literally out of his like grandma's garage. I mean, shout out to Seth. Like, I remember going to his grandma's garage as he's making. Now he's in 27 states. And like, his Infused Spirits, it's a vodka with like naturally infused fruits inside of it. So it's a really dope brand.
Yeah.
And just seeing him grow. But yeah, we met. We were just both kind of like ideas starting out, and then eventually just me doing kind of promos for him. And then he started getting a little bigger. It's just like, do you have a friend? You know, and then it became like this whole recruiting thing and me like scheduling girls. And then from there, you know, kind of.
Can you talk about that whole growth process? Because I think this is clutch for a lot of people, because I'm one of those guys who also just gets out there. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a hit. And if it's not, I'm going to learn. It's all good. You know,
right.
But after you get out there, and that learning process can be a little bit more intense than what you probably signed up for. So
I'm still learning. Today I was like, God dang it. Yeah, because you're right. I haven't, like, and then I started, and now I'm a millionaire. Like,
right.
What did you do? Like, when did this become this? You know, and I'm not a million. Let's keep this clear. I am still actually in the messy middle right now.
But you're onto something.
I am. So, okay, so yeah, with Seth, it started with, he was my first client, Infused Spirits. You know, they started getting into different types of stores from there. But let me remind you, I was still working at the time. So I didn't quit, like, my jobs or anything. So I actually...
Side hustle.
Yeah, I was side hustle. Exactly. So okay. I was, you know, working with RJ Reynolds still at the time. In 2016, I got this big contract. It's called Dinner in the Sky. So, and at the time, I'm getting, like, little demo, you know, we're, like, booking little golf tournaments and, like, you know, bartending, because we do both. We do experiential marketing, but also a lot of private staffing as well. So,
yeah.
Like, Super Bowl party, you know, things like that.
Dope.
So little things started, you know, taking off. Like,
are you out trying to find these gigs, or is this something that's...
This is literally Crystal Jackson by herself. Lord Jesus, please help me. Like, this is just me with no help, no
email. Emailing people, or...
Eat everything.
Wow.
And there's not one thing.
I
kind of had that. I had no one. It was literally me. I mean, just that's why I'm so the young Crystal. I mean, that real gung ho. I'm talking like 18-hour days where nothing. I was so driven and just so saw like things happening, you know. So, you know, like little friends will help me at an event. You're like, hey, can you volunteer? You know, to like watch the girls while I'm at this event or something. You know, so recruiting all that, or like a girlfriend will work. I'm like, hey, I have another friend. You know, so that's kind of helped build the staff a little bit. But 2016, I got this crazy call. It was this huge project called Dinner in the Sky. It was literally a 22-passenger platform, and it's an international phenomenon. It just hasn't been done in the U.S. They were literally, you have dinner in the sky. You're raised up 150 feet in the air.
I've seen this on YouTube, I think.
Right?
Where you have the crane.
On the crane,
with your hang them and have it suspended.
And you have it suspended, and you're locked
in. I'm surprised
in.
It hasn't happened here yet, though. I mean, L.A. should be the place for it to take off.
Gal Unlimited was going to be the agency that made it happen, but when you just talk about it, it's just so funny when these, kind of like that Fire Festival or whatever it is, one that Ja Rule was supposed to be doing, everything just literally blew up. That is basically my story. Oh my God. How much time do we have? No, we're not going to go through this. No, we're not going to go through this story.
All right.
We'll do the overview of the story. Basically, you know, I was young. I was gung-ho. This is at the point I'm like, I'm going to quit my job. What do you mean? I announced it at my birthday. My parents were there. And I had to do it on purpose on my birthday because they can't get mad at me. It's my birthday. And I literally announced, like, I'm quitting my job. This is good. This is a multi-million dollar project. I mean, I'm literally getting crazy sponsors. Like, we're getting news network. Like, this is about to be it, okay? Like, and it wasn't just going to be the one time event. We were talking about doing it for months. We're getting celebrity chefs. Like, this is literally, and that's kind of started me getting a lot of my connections, you know. I mean, I'm literally just reaching out, you know, just like I made it happen, you know. So anyways, long story short, they didn't have the proper, you know, insurance for it. A lot of the connections weren't right. It was a mix of everyone. It was I didn't know really what went into it. I've never done anything on this type of level before, you know. So
big skill though.
And really it came from a person, you know. It's so important to the people you bring onto a project. And this was a woman who I brought into the project. She was supposed to be like a mentor of mine, you know, like she's planned big food and wine events, like perfect, let's work together. Totally stabbed me in the back, totally went to the client. It's just like, she didn't know she'd do it, work with me, blah, blah, blah. Like, she really tried it. Then it became a huge explosion. Like everything just became a snowball effect again with, you know, the permitting and just, it was a big mess.
Yeah.
So with that said, you know, we had, come to find he got like indicted back to Germany, like he was you know, on some fraud stuff. It was a big mess. So, you know, the money I was supposed to get from that, it didn't happen. I have no job at this time. My money's drying up, and I'm literally just like, oh my God. So at that time, I get a call from Infuse, and they were just like, hey, we want to bring you in-house, you know. So at that time, at first, you know, I had no job. Like, the money literally just dried, and I got the call. So, I was like, God came through, you know. So, I got the job. I worked with Infuse. There was just a lot of, and I can admit my fault, totally on my end, you know, kind of like my attitude. But it was, I was, in my opinion, being, like, used. I was being, like, I wanted to have my own agency. And you wanted to bring me in-house, of course, to cut out the middleman, you know, like, so that you don't have to pay an agency fee, you know. And I could have done it and really, like, grown, but I would have just been with that one client. Like, that's a conflict of interest. I can't be working for a company and then bring in other companies.
Right.
So, you know, that happened. I worked with them until, like, early 2017. Another huge mess happened. A girlfriend of mine ended up taking, like, $6,000 from me. It was just, like, this whole, like, I'm, like... Money is just like keep going down. So that summer, I'm just like, oh my God, what do I gotta do? I gotta get another job, you know? So I started working for Green Bar Distillery. So I was their LA sales manager.
Okay.
But as I'm working for them, I'm like, I really miss the gala. I wanted to do that. You know, I didn't want to work. I wanted to have my own business. I wanted to have my own agency, and I was kind of onto something. I just ran out of money. You know, that $6,000 literally right when I left Infuse was supposed, that's all I had in my account. And don't quit a job on $6,000. That is not enough to sustain you, FYI. But you know,
yeah,
it could have. I mean, I would never know. It just was wiped out of the account. So, you know, that kind of happened. But yeah, so that happened. I got with Green Bar, and then literally it's just funny how, you know, businesses happen. Right then, as I got the job with Green Bar, and I can say this now because I don't really work with them anymore, but I ended up, Infuse called me back.
Okay.
And they were, but not to work, they're like, look, we want to work with you as an agency. So I ended up doing, I got hired with Green Bar in August. Like that, 2 days later, Infuse called me. So I'm working a full time as the LA regional manager, but then I just got this campaign.
Perfect.
So, right, so now we're, and again, by myself, like trying to learn this. So we're doing all the retail promotions for Infuse Spirits between of 2017 between like August and December. So I mean, I'm going from like not really working gala to like now like 50 demos a month with them.
Wow.
So that,
and you got a full-time gig though.
And I have a full-time job.
Yeah.
So that was a crazy time. I mean, I kind of did it. I did, you know, but then come, and this is the funniest story I have to tell. This is like my favorite story to tell. So in February of 28 to this past February, love these stories. I literally, I'm at Grace, so Green Bar left their sale, what they, not left, but what they did was sell off their company to another brand called Redwood Brand.
Okay.
So Redwood Brand now has about like 5 different brands to them. So it's like they all kind of went in with certain money. Instead of like having one sales rep for LA, now you all can have different money and have a sales rep who sells everything. You know, you can have more money to have better sales rep. Totally makes sense for them, for their business. Completely get it. When I was first hired with Green Bar, I was supposed to be their market development manager. So I was supposed to be traveling, you know, and developing the markets. Right when I got hired, the LA girl quit. So they were like, let's keep you in LA for a little bit, kind of test you out, see how you are, and then we could do that. So it's February, and I'm literally, I get my boss at the time, he's just like, hey, just want to let you know, we're going to upgrade you to the market development manager position. You're going to get XYZ increase. Like, I was so hyped. And, like, it's like I didn't want to work a job, but also when that money came in, I was like, ooh,
it's
this
hard.
Is hard,
it's
right?
Hard, man.
And I liked what I was doing. Let me get you right. I liked, I enjoyed the
That's
job.
That's the hardest thing, though.
Right?
Yeah.
And
if you hated it and there was no money, then it's...
Then it's easier.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, and you know this whole entrepreneur, everyone just kind of wants to be for like the fluff of it. But that Friday he sits down with me, I'm like, oh my God, I make this whole Instagram video, Facebook, yo, my life, you know, God
yeah.
is good, you know,
yeah.
I'm about to get this in this raise. I'm about to become the market
yeah.
development. Oh, everybody know I got so many likes, so many comments. I was like, dee dee, you know, this is on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, feeling myself. I got a call on Monday. And they're just like, you know, we hold off on the promotion. We just,
wow.
we need to discuss some things, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, what? Is something I said? Did I do something? So then that Wednesday, I get laid off. How do you
wow.
get promoted and laid off in the same week? I'm confused. Like, I was very much, I'm like sitting down and they're just like, so we are selling the company, like part of the company off. We're going to be working with this other brand, you know, Redwood, we're going to be under them. You can still work for Redwood, you just need to interview with them. And, you know, so they're like, we will recommend you. Of course, we'll give you the highest regards, but it's out of our control anymore, you know. So, and nothing bad to Redwood. I totally understand. Fast forward, all the people they hired do have 10, 15, 20 plus years experience, you know.
Sure.
But granted, I was selling the brand for the past year. Like, you know, like I know the brand, but basically I didn't get hired. And I was so like, I was like so devastated. And to me, that was just the sign. So that was, they, you know, paid me until March. They were nice enough to like give me until the end of the March or of March of 2018 of last year. Wow. And since March, this has been, I was just like, let's go for it, girl. This is a sign. No more going back to work. No more nothing. This is your full time. Let's do this. So summertime, you know, it was rough. You know, you had a little bit that I say, you know, and that was lasting. And then just literally all summer, you know, all summer 17, you know, or 18, you know, like I'm just pitching, hitting up. Yeah. And then just from that summer, so August, that's when, my branding client, I end up finally kind of, things were going good, you know, May, we were like pitching and I'm really hoping to get this. And then, you know, September we signed and that became like a huge account for me. And then at the same time, like another month later, I got this other, and it's, I'm telling you guys, this is what you need to do. Like, don't stop following up. The money is in the follow-up. That whole like, oh, I emailed one time, they haven't responded back to me. Hey, third follow-up email subject, eighth follow-up, you know? And yeah. I was on my current client now, you know, I hit them up. They were like, well, we're talking to 15 other agencies. We're talking to 15 other agencies. We'll get back to you. Like, okay. You know, they're talking to all these other agencies. I see them at an event. That's another thing. I go to the events where I know my clients are going to be. Sure. You need to see me in person. This is what our brand represents, blah, blah. You know, we're startup, but compared to these large agencies, you know, you're not going to get that one-on-one. So I went and I saw her and she's like, I'm so glad you met me again. You know, it's perfect timing. We really are about to start a program. You know, I think we're going to go with you. And like 2 weeks later, she's like, let's go. So that was...
That follow-up is clutch, man. And you know what's crazy? So one of the things that I experienced when I had my business is that when I got down to making that choice of your money's just about out and you got to pay other people.
Right.
Oh, that was the hardest shit for me, dude. I mean, because I was newly married, I'm like, okay, I got to pay these people, though, because they did the work. So I got to pay them, and that was tough. And one of the things I remember is starting to get a little bitter, though. You know? Like, so... A couple things that I've heard in your story was people took money from you. You know, you got this job, and then they say, "Oh, we want to elevate you. You got a brand new, you know, you got this brand new spot. You're on top of the world. IG story is going off like crazy." And then once that hits, I'm like, "Ah, I'm about to get out of here." How'd you not get bitter throughout the process?
I did get bitter. I mean, okay. Of course, that's what happened. Especially when I remember lots of breakdown crying, lots of crying, especially the. 2017 was a very hard year for me. Like, I hate being like, I'm depressed. Like, your girl was a mess, you know? Like, and I was just...
There was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on. Especially when the money wasn't just like, oh, this is like friends, you know? Like, things... I was definitely very bitter, and I was in a very low moment, and it was just like, you know, like, I just knew I didn't want to... Like, it sounds so, like, manifestation, and just pray. Like,
yeah.
You know, like I said, I had to go back to work. I realized that was the main thing. Like, my business wasn't working. I mean, I'm not just going to sit here and cry about it. And I went back to work. I had to get the money. But to me, how things have been working out, like I said, I got laid off then that time. And then just when I was like, you know, we're going to do this full time. Like, you can do this. And it just, it becomes that drive. It really becomes that hustle of, like, I got to get this, you know, like, we have to do this. You know, I mean, at the time, like, I wish I could say, like, I just kept grinding through it. You know, I had to do what I had to do to get money again, you know, so I did go back to work. But right now, I feel like I'm in a good spot. I mean, it's definitely hard. I'm not in, you know, I don't have a multi-million dollar agency. You know, we're definitely getting there, but it's, yeah.
Dude, obviously, what you were going through, you actually got out of because I was at the event later on last year, and it's definitely doing this thing. And I don't know how, if you just duplicate more of that, there won't be more major wins.
We're planning 6 this year. So
can we talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, definitely very important, though, with business. You know, that I'm not afraid to say I'm very big on investing in myself.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of Visa and MasterCard have been my best friends. They're my best investors right now. So, you know, shout out to them. They keep calling, but you know, yeah, don't worry. No, I'm playing. I pay my things on time. But, you know, that was, to me, it wasn't an L. I invested in that event for sure, because I knew that event, I sell that now to companies. I show that this is what we can produce for you. I mean, I took a very like very big hit on that. Because, again, those type of events, people think that they're easy. I mean, there's a lot of money that goes into that, you know. Yeah. So for me, that was my thing. I invested in that because I knew that that same thing with how I landed my client. I paid $1,700 to go to WSWA, Wine and Spirits Wholesale of America trade show. That's one thing I think people need to realize. Start investing in yourself. Mm-hmm. When you think $1,700, like, even, like, come to this event, it's going to be $40. Like, ooh, I don't know if I want to pay that. You know, like, $1,700, like, oh, hell no. But I'm like, you know what? You're going to go there and you're going to close this client. And you better go there and you better sell in and you better close this client. Turn into a $30,000 client. So really, did you make the money? Exactly. Yeah. So
the return was there.
The return was there and I knew it. And it took me 6 months. It's not an instant, you know? Like, I'm blown up. And then they're back with me another year. And we're about to do double what we did last, you know, of our events and stuff, or everything we did for them. So, you know, I definitely want to plan a lot more of that, but I invested in that last year. But the events this year, I do want to be a lot smarter with, and it really comes down to the sponsorship, because they have to be my partners in that. I can't just continue to, like, take L's, you know, to do to front that. It's, I have another part of my business I'm running, you know. At least I have people now. I have to payroll, you know, that, and they've been amazing with me. You know, there's sometimes it's like, can we wait till Friday? You know, you know, it's been a lot of that, but we definitely
talk about getting sponsorship process, because I think that's super cool,
right?
Like, especially what you guys did, though. I mean, because you had them wrapped into the actual event. It was a part of the event.
Oh, no, they were. That's one thing I need people, and stop it. I'm gonna tell you now, everyone, stop hitting my phone for sponsors, because everyone, especially with events, and I'm gonna teach everyone this right now,
teach us.
Especially with alcohol. I'm the alcohol girl, I'm the bottle girl. My contact list of alcohol companies is, yes, I have a lot of connects.
Yeah.
People, stop selling your events and start selling the value to them. You think I went to Martell, like, I'm just looking for drinks for my event. I know Martell is doing an initiative with African Americans right now. That's one thing people don't want to do, is do the research. Do the research on what that brand is and sell it to them to where it's a no-brainer. Like, of course we're going to want to be in this event. Like, this is for us. Like, you have to sell that event to where they want to do it, what that brand is looking to do right now. What are their marketing initiatives for the year? When I hit up people, it's, hey, I see that you're doing this, this, this. I think this would be perfect, and this is how we compare. I hate the whole just sponsor does look... If you tell me one more time about a logo placement or an exposure, what is that BS?
Come
like,
on, man. But it's still selling, though, right? I mean, people are still getting those packages off, right?
I mean, maybe they're coming, you know, to me, especially just what I work with alcohol, and even for Dinner in the Sky, that was my part, is getting the sponsorship part. It was very difficult. Sponsorship is not easy, especially number one thing, the timing. People want to tell you about their events in 2-3 weeks. It's large corporations. They do their budget now for 2 years from now, you know, for December. You got to really get in on that, you know, especially when you're asking about money. Product and things, those are a lot easier. Those are a little bit more mild. You can kind of get that in flexibility. But, you know, when you're asking for, like, larger amounts of money, you know, make sure that it fits into what they're doing. So right now, the companies that I'm going to be hitting up, you know, and I don't want everything just to be, I'm still kind of teetering, in all honesty, about, is it only black men? Because I know I got so many bash from women. Like, tons of women want to come to the event. Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah.
You got some backlash?
You know, trolls. You know, you know how the internet be.
But like, look. I mean, that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, of course. That's what I was like.
That's supposed to be there.
I got a lot more. I will be honest. I got a lot of support from black women. And yeah, there was a lot more. There was probably like 2% who did, majority, I'm not going to make myself.
Yeah,
exactly.
They have to come out sometimes.
And they have to. They have to show their face. I see you, you know. But yeah, I mean, more women just like, well, why is it men? Why can't, can I please come? No, this is a men's event. It is for them. And you're not going to be able to open up. I feel like men wouldn't have been able to open up how they did if there were going to be women in there.
No.
Yeah. Thank
Absolutely
you.
Absolutely not. No, come on. I mean, it's just how guys roll. If you start throwing in, especially you got a lot of women there, beautiful women there, guys are single, and then, you know, everybody's going to start peacocking, right? I mean, you got to get into your...
There's already some of that going on. Especially that was another thing I saw with a lot of men, you know, like, I brought you guys in the room to be brothers, to discuss, and it was like, oh yeah, you know, I'm doing this too, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you can say that you're not doing it. It's okay, sir. Like,
it's so funny, man, because at like one point in my life, I really believed in trying to fake it till you make it. I really did.
Yeah.
I thought it was a way. I thought, you know, every time I do a podcast, I need to go run out the studios, all that, right? Like, that's what I want to do. Now I'm just like, honesty is where it's at.
It's at. And there's, you know, there's a level.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you have to, like, affirm that, like, you know.
Sure.
I'm not, yeah.
If
like,
you're doing it for for yourself, that's different.
Exactly. You know, and sometimes it's like, oh, do you, you know, but when you just, you're just straight lying, you're straight, like, you're not that at all. You know, like you said, there's a little flow, you know, especially when you're pitching again to sponsors or to clients. You got to make them feel like they're investing in something quality. But when you're just straight, like, that's not at all. Please stop this, right? Because you're going to get exposed. And then it'll look real stupid. So.
And you know, especially these days, I feel like people get exposed even faster. I mean, it's so easy to figure out what you're up to on a day-to-day basis. You can only hop over the fence, try to hop on all these private jets so many times. I mean, like, there's only so many Uber rides you can do. And I mean, like, cats are going to figure out that you're parking in the back of the parking lot because your car is just, but it's all good. I mean, so, you know, I like that, the fact that the majority of guys I spoke with, though, they were pretty down to earth, pretty transparent.
Right.
And I'm having numerous conversations with them now, so this year. So
what, you made connections?
Yay!
That's what I want.
I got about four guys coming on this actual podcast.
Really?
Yeah, man, it's great.
I'm upset. That's, oh my God, my heart is so full. That's all I wanted is for you men to, because that's what I feel like happened at the women. And women are a lot more open, you know, again.
All
okay, well, hold on. Yeah, no, we really got hold on, you know. I will say,
yes,
women are, well, yeah, we're open to talking, you know, to each other. But when it comes to, in my opinion, supporting, when that, yeah, that's an issue for me. And that's what I told, again, the woman who stabbed me in the back, like, and it's so sad, especially since we are Black and we kind of are talking about that subject. A lot of Black women, they just don't. They don't support. We don't support each other. We talk about Black men. Men will support you. You know, it's like, I got you, brother. No worries. Mm-hmm. It's always a competition. Sis, it's not. And I remember, and she admitted, and that was the best thing that she did. The one who stabbed me in the back, she straight up said it. She said, oh, I'll never forget this line. She was like, you know, I felt that it was, in the end, me against you and let the best woman win. And I was like, why? Yeah. We were all gonna eat. Yeah. We were all at the table. There was not a price you told me I never said okay to. There was not any request that you wanted I didn't bring for you. Yeah. I was willing to do any and everything so we can be in this together, sis. And people who know me, I've never been a jealous nation. I'm way too giving. That's why I'm always getting taken advantage of. I would rob for me too. I'm so stupid. You know, I'm just very like, okay, let's be friends, stick together, da-da-da. We aren't like that. It's that whole crabs in a barrel, da, da, da. But there are a lot of Black. I've had, we don't want to blanket everyone.
Of course.
I've had a lot of Black girls, you know, who stick by me and just really just, we do that. But women, it's not just Black, but women are always competitive. That's just how we are. Like, oh, well, da, da, da. You know, men, I felt like it was like pride, ego stuff, but I felt like you guys were socialized and were willing, you know.
Well, I mean, you know what's kind of interesting, especially in LA, like, especially from leaving Atlanta, that where there's, it's like a, it's getting different out there.
Is it? Yeah, what's going on?
It's getting different in Atlanta. I mean, it's like a Wakanda type of setup happening, man.
Is it?
I mean, man, there's a lot of powerful Black people, from government officials. I mean, it's just set up in a much different light. A lot of Black cops out there. So, I mean, it just looks, you see a lot of people in these different roles, CEOs and all the way through, that you can find them. And it's just, you don't see it in too many other cities. And so it sets a different precedence. It's
right.
A different tone, right? And so going to events where you can see all Black males, I can find those in Atlanta pretty often. Not executed well, but I can find a lot of businessmen linking up, trying to do things, right?
Love it.
Which is dope. But in LA, especially in Pasadena, where we are, you know, we're a little bit more spread out, a little more sparse. And so, I mean, I feel like there's certain sides of the city where, obviously, where there's a ton of us. But on the east side of L.A., our Pasadena tourists, you don't have a lot of those type of functions that really happen. So it was great to see it happen here, you know, and pulled off so well.
And I got a lot of that feedback, too. Like, a lot, you know, L.A., you know, I'm glad you kind of said it like that because I've read my L.A. I stand for, you know, everybody and their mom wants to live in L.A. and know when I'm like, no, I'm from here. Like, what? Like, like, I'm sorry, you're a little Texas person. And you're told you're pretty in Michigan and you should be an actress. You know, like, there's so many transplants out here, you know, so
the
I thought that a lot of people,
too.
Yeah, and people are mostly in the creative field, you know,
right.
People are more into the acting and seeing artistry and modeling and all that type of stuff, but I feel, that's what I think, I wanted to bring everyone together, I feel like we're out here and we just, we just need to, and I, you know, shout out to, you know, Los Angeles Urban League of Young Professionals. Really, to be very honest, 100 Black Men, I have to give it to them. They helped me really put this together, you know, and it's really partnering with the right people, you know, Black in LA. Like, you know, I made sure to hit up these groups because a lot of people, when they do move out here, who are from the Atlantas and the Houstons, where it is a lot of Chicago's, you know, those chocolate cities, you know, that's one thing that they want to do is kind of get involved with things. So those, and I know they kind of struggle as nonprofits, you know, they kind of, it's hard for them to throw quality events as well. So that's what I'm trying to do as well, is kind of bring those quality events.
So do you have more of these lined up? You said you have about 6 of them, is that right?
Yeah. So in March, where, you know, I should talk about them because it pressures me to like really make it happen. Because I was having Business Men and Brandy forever. I was like, I'm gonna do it. And then I'm like, Business Men and Brandy. I'm like, oh god dang it, I gotta do it. Like, so the next one we are planning for March, we are getting on. I'm just hoping to secure some of our Irish whiskey sponsors. You know, March St. Patrick's, but we kind of want to do a black version of it because you know, St. Patrick, he didn't like black people. So it's going to be called Investors in Irish Whiskey. So each one is gonna have a theme, of course, with that one is going to be how to gain investments. We're going to have accountants there as well. I'm trying to get some government officials to even talk about like city grants and you know, just government grants that you can get as well. So it's really more about the financial aspect of building a business.
Great.
So that's the Investors in Irish Whiskey. We're planning. So I am, ladies, I am planning one for you guys because I'm into sales. I think sales women are it. I don't care what. That's really why I started Gala as well. I mean, let's just, I can really talk candid. You know, is this a PG-13 one? Can I say words? Like,
Live your life.
I think especially as young girls, as it's in social media today, what we're looking at, most girls that are popular on Instagram, they're Instagram models, you know? And nothing down to them. They've turned it, they monetized it. But I feel like there's just such a better way that you can make money without always having to show your tits and ass, you know? Like, that's not how you have to do it.
Now we gotta talk about this. I mean, because, you know, I couldn't agree with that more. I feel like women can be potentially 10 times better salespeople. Just because
we
guys...
We close 54% of deals more than men, by the way.
Come on.
I got the stats, okay? And that's...
Say it one more time.
So 54%, only men close 48% of deals compared to women who close 54% more of deals.
That.
You know, we can... That's, I think, sales, and that's what just my dad taught me and just how I've been, you know, in my environment. When you can sell, when you can sell yourself, selling a product, when you're that real, and selling... Look at my, you know, I mean, sex does sell. I'm not going to lie. Like, oh, and a beautiful girl is not going to sell something. Of course. Absolutely. So that's what I really look for as well. But you can be beautiful without being, you know, like sex, you know, driven, trashy.
Yeah.
Exactly. So raunchy and all that. But that's what I want is more of, so we're doing one as saleswomen in Savvy and Walk.
It's one of those skill sets that people shit on. Sales gets such a bad rap. But every business needs it.
Needs it.
I mean, you don't have a business if you don't have sales.
Thank you.
I mean, so it's one of those skill sets where I'm always encouraging people. Like, look, man, learn how to present yourself.
Thank you.
Learn how to pitch properly.
Exactly.
I mean, it matters. I mean, for whatever you want to get into, whether you even don't want to be a business owner, if you just have this idea that you want to get out there, if you're a faith-based person and you want to kind of preach that, like, that's all salesmanship, you know? I mean, so... Harnessing those skill sets is very valuable for whatever you're up to.
Thank you. That's what exactly, and it's the most. No one goes like sales class, you know, like.
Right.
But it is. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's so important, and it's.
So you're doing this for women.
One of the events. So yeah, there's going to be saleswomen in Savvy en Blanc. So like I said, about 6.
That's
so there's the tycoons and tequila.
Okay.
There's the
tycoons
investors.
Tequila,
yeah.
Okay.
So we're teaching you how to be so. That one, I'm still trying to think of what subject I want for that one. The saleswoman in sake, or it was going to be sake at first, but then we changed to Sauvignon Blanc. I think wine is great for that.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do one, which I'm very excited for, is Winners in Wine, which we're talking about hiring, you know, as a staffing agency. It's just been so important. Even the people that I've hired, you know, some of the staff we've had has been just straight up just trash. I'm like, my God, how do we hire this person? And I think that's...
But it's not taught, though.
It's really not, and I think, and
you
know,
if you weren't getting those skills at home, it's like, where else do you get them?
And that's what I'm like, you seem nice, okay, you know, like, that's why these large corporations, you know, and also shout out to RJ Reynolds, shout out to Target, like, taking training, you know, the hiring process were months. This is not, yeah. I mean, I'm sure even for the job you work now, I mean, good quality corporate companies, there's a reason their HR recruiting is so intense. It is so important to hire the right people, especially as a startup. You know, I mean, this wasn't your startup. You're like, you're my friend. Can you help me do this stuff? You know, I mean, but really hiring quality staff and even from recruitment, you know, talking to a girlfriend and, you know, shout out my girlfriend, Sujata, she's HR for Disney and her sister is actually a recruiter for Universal. And like, I just went to them and I'm like, okay, what should I even be doing on these interviews? You know, sometimes my interview questions were like, can you breathe? Do you look good? Have you sold something? All right, get in there. You know, and that's not what, it, I mean, there's so much more in depth things she was asking. She's like, you know, ask this because then that really, you know, like, tell them about a time that you really had to learn something quickly. Like, what would you, you know, what would you do if you had to go to this location? You don't have a lot of direction. How are you going to handle it? You know, and those, you never think of in-depth recruiting questions, you know, because you could really start telling a lot more from an interview, how people interview, how exactly what they really are about. That's why these personality tests. And that's really where my whole goal is now. I mean, I'm about, the Gallup girls are about to be the sharpest in the game, period. I'm not having these girls out here, like, they don't talk, you know, they're just, or there's so much I can really go, but I want quality girls. I want quality staff, and it goes back to the training and hiring. So
I mean, you know, I think what you're up to is going to be really special, because if you're teaching a lot of your employees how to go about really presenting themselves, mm-hmm. and really, I mean, those are skill sets that, okay, you may start here, but that transfers to whatever you're up to.
Everything.
I mean, so yeah, that could become a pretty cool hub for it. That you're like really putting together with the agency.
Exactly. And I would love to really, you know, for right now, we have like contractors, 3-hour promotions, things like that. I mean, I would love to eventually secure an account. Like, so I'm not sure if you've ever been to LA Auto Show.
Yeah, it's huge.
Those are real spokesmodels. Like, they know every single function about the car. I mean, they go for like months of training, you know.
Really?
They get paid, okay?
But it shows too, though. I mean, because you go there, it's a great event. I mean, everybody looks great, but they're also very knowledgeable and very polished, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So that's what I'm trying to present, is really, and where I can charge for it as well, you know? I mean, when you just need the guerrilla marketing VAs to pass out flyers, they don't have to be that quality, you know? And granted, those are big because you can get 20 bookings at once, you know, compared to, I mean, I want people who, especially now they're hitting me up, which is just like crazy for me, and I always wanted this in my life. Real account managers, you know, so they want someone to be in the field selling to retail stores, selling to, you know, there's a difference between like a brand ambassador, you know, promoting it once it's been sold into the account, and then like a real salesperson. So I'm getting hit up a lot. They want real sales teams now. So you know, that's super important, which, you know, one of the events is going to be teaching just about really recruit, you know, the recruiting aspect and bringing on the right team for when you hire. And I'm going to have like an HR panel. So yeah, we have a couple of them that we're planning. We're definitely doing another businessman, and we want to do businessmen Bourbon though, but nice. You know, we're kind of speaking to existence. I want to do this whole campaign with just Pernod Ricard to where, you know, all their portfolio, because they make everything, Jameson, Malibu rum, Absolut vodka, all that, to where they can really just hone in on all our events. So
well, you know what, Crystal, man, I gotta tell you, I'm looking forward to these events coming out. I think you're on some big things. And you got to plug exactly how people can find you if they want more insights about the events and just websites and everything else.
Yeah, so, you know, for, I don't know, should I have my personal one? You know, follow me. That's right. So my personal one is Cali Crystal, C-A-L-I, Crystal with the K, K-R-Y-S-T-A-L. That's my personal Instagram. Gala Unlimited, pretty G-A-L-A Unlimited. That's our business Instagram. And then, of course, galunlimited.co, not com. I always get that. I'm still working with these people trying to get that, buy that domain. So yeah, galunlimited.co. And that's where I'm also going to be posting about business and beverages. So that's the whole series. So that's where you can learn more about that.
Crystal, this has been phenomenal. Thank you so much for coming on the Sales Culture Podcast. I look forward to staying in touch. I look forward to helping you out in any way possible, too. So you let me know how I can assist.
And with that, it's a wrap. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Sales Culture Radio Show. And to learn more about the agency, go to salesculture.work. And don't forget to rate it and subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast.